Good morning, Potter's Fellowship. It's Pastor Greg coming to you from my office at my home. Happy Sunday. Hope all is well. We are continuing our study in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and actually the Holy Spirit, period, but we happen to be at the gifts portion. We've talked about the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit that are listed in Corinthians, and now we're going to be talking about additional gifts. Believe it or not, there are additional gifts, and there are not only gifts but offices that you could look at as the same as gifts. But we're going to, for the next couple weeks, be talking about additional gifts and the offices of the Holy Spirit. So this week, it's the Holy Spirit of God, additional gifts, part one. And I want to talk about these other gifts that are listed. And, you know, they're not as covered as much as the ones in 1 Corinthians that we have previously reviewed. But these additional gifts seem to take a back seat, even though they're just as important in the list in 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, and begin reading along with me. I'll give you a second to get there. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. It says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Father, we pray blessing upon your word this morning as we study. God, that you would give us insight into what the Spirit is saying to the church, that we might have ears to hear and eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, going deeper this morning, we're going to cover the gift of prophecy here. And I know we've already covered that in the previous list. However, it's listed again. And it's listed with another important gift of teaching. Now, the reason why this is a little bit different teaching than the previous teaching on the gift of prophecy is the connection to teaching and the prophetic word. So, without ruffling feathers this morning, I want to be able to give you this particular text is straightforward as I can give you. And that's not to say that it doesn't have some controversy. I'm not claiming that I am 100% right here, but this is the way that I understand how these gifts are listed in Scripture and their importance. So the gift of prophecy, this is a spiritual gift. And again, it's listed among the other gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And in Romans here in 12:6, and the Greek word translated prophesy or prophecy in both passages, it means to speak forth and declare God's will or to interpret the purposes of God. So speak forth the mind and will of God. It's the same meaning. And you say, well, Greg, well, why are we covering it again? Well, we're covering it because of its connection to teaching. It says, or to make known in any way the truth of God, which is designated to influence people, right? So God is still in the business of influencing people. We know that. And many people, they misunderstand the gift of prophecy to be this ability to predict the future. And not that we, that God can't do that, but the gifts to sort of talk about future things that are going to happen are more surrounded around the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And again, those two gifts go hand in hand together. The word of knowledge is knowledge about something. It could be something that's going on right now or something that may come in the future based on what we see in Scripture, right? But does that mean that the gift of prophecy in terms of being able to declare something that's going to happen in the future? You know, that's a slippery slope, and there's, you know, again, this is a non-essential doctrine, and I realize that there are two different camps here. There are people that believe the gift of prophecy is for foretelling the future. Well, if it is, then it should be whatever the mind and will of God is, and you're subject to the same laws in Scripture. The office of a prophet was an Old Testament office, and if you were a false prophet, you were stoned. So if you're going to talk about things that are going to happen, start declaring about days when the Lord is going to come back, predicting an earthquake. If you're right, we celebrate you as a prophet. If you're wrong, we stone you. And I don't think anybody wants that particular pressure put on them. But while knowing something about the future may be sometimes, you know, an aspect of this gift of prophecy, that can happen. It's primarily a gift of proclamation or forth-telling, right? So a pastor teacher who declares the Bible can be considered a prophet, okay? In the fact that they're speaking forth the mind and the will and the counsel of God. And with the completion of the New Testament canon, prophesying changed from declaring new revelations, right, that the prophets were getting, to declaring a completed revelation that God has already given. So let me digress here. The Old Testament prophets, right, just like the judges, their part was to judge, and the prophets were to prophesy. There wasn't the written word, and if there was, it was bits and pieces of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and they didn't have the canon of Scripture like we did. So they were constantly speaking forth the mind and the will of God, even in the major and minor prophets that we see. God would speak, and they would write under the hand of God. And now, in the New Testament, we've been given the canon of Scripture. And even when the New Testament was starting, they didn't have the written word. And so the people that were prophesying were basically gathering the messages that Jesus had left, the things that he told them that they would be able to bring to remembrance, and writing those things down, right? So the with the New Testament being complete, prophecy changed from, you know, declaring new revelations, again, to a completed revelation that was already given. Jude 3 says it this way: the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and I'm going to emphasize, was once delivered, okay? In other words, the faith that, you know, which we hold had been settled forever, and it does not need additional refinement. That comes from extra-biblical revelations. That's not what we're to do. We know in Revelation we are, mandated by Scripture that we are not to take away or add from the Scripture. It is what it is. And you can argue, well, this book should have been in the canon, this book. You can do that all you want. But the reality is we have what we can loosely agree on is the canon of Scripture, and our prophetic word should come from that particular written document and not necessarily man, okay? Now, the false teacher. So the transition from prophet to teacher in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. And again, I'm emphasizing the fact that prophetic word, Old Testament, teacher, New Testament, with the gift of prophecy, speaking forth the mind and the will of God. Now, Peter indicates that the Old Testament age were prophets, and whereas the church is going to have teachers, and the spiritual gift of prophecy in the same sense is receiving that new revelation from God, and it's proclaimed to others. It ceased with the completion of the canon of Scripture. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't bring understanding, and that's what really the gift of prophesying is speaking forth the mind and the will of God, and the gift of teaching is taking what may be difficult and making it easy. That's my life's calling. My life's calling is to take the Bible, that which can be difficult for people to understand, and make it easy. It's what I'm trying to do now using the gift of teaching that God has given me. It is a God-given gift. It is a spirit given gift. It's not talent. It's not education. It's relying on the Lord. The modern gift of prophecy, which is connected with teaching, still declares the truth of God. And what has changed is that the truth today has already been fully revealed in His Word, while the early church had not yet fully revealed that particular gift. And that's why there were prophecy was more abundant during the beginning of the church, because we didn't have the canon. So the second gift listed here that we're going to cover is the gift of teaching. Now, the spiritual gift of teaching is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Romans 12, again, and 1 Corinthians 12, 28, Ephesians 4, 1 and 12. It is a gift given by the Holy Spirit, enabling one to effectively communicate the truths of the Bible to to other people. That's believers and non-believers. It's most often, but not always, used in context in the local church. And that's what we do. We believe heavily on the gift of teaching. And I'm not the only teacher in the church. We have other people, other pastors who teach. We have other people who teach, men and women. This gift is for both. So the gift of teaching involves the analysis and the proclamation of the Word of God, explaining its meaning, its context, and application to the hearer's life. And that, you know, what a teacher does, the gift is given, but it's for us to refine that gift. The gift of a teacher is one who has the unique ability to clearly instruct and communicate knowledge, specifically the doctrines of the faith and the truths of the Bible. So it is a gift that builds, right? And God gave spiritual gifts for what? To edify the church. Every gift that God has given is to build up the church. And Paul instructed the church at Corinth to seek to edify and build up Christ's church. And they were eager, 1 Corinthians 14 says, to have spiritual gifts that they would try to excel in the gifts that build up. Excel in the gifts that build up. Prophecy and teaching are gifts that build up the church. A spiritual gift, right? That Greek word means charisma. It's a supernatural God-given ability to perform a ministry for the building up a body of Christ. This is a gift that God has given. It's graciously endowed upon us. And while a spiritual gift can be developed, it doesn't require supernatural. It does require a supernatural ability to exercise it, and one of these gifts is teaching. Right? I wanna pay close attention to something that I just said. Okay? While a spiritual gift can be developed, I think we underemphasize the fact that we as teachers and those gifted with prophecy, your gift does not stop with just understanding, well, it's from God and I really have no responsibility. I'm just going to speak what he puts on my heart. There is a way to better communicate. And I think that usually when I hear young teachers, they have a very difficult time telling stories. They have a very difficult time keeping the telos or the idea that's consistent throughout the scripture. And those are mistakes made by people who are just not seasoned yet. That's all. They just need more practice. Hence, the idea that these gifts need to be developed. I am not the same teacher that I was back in my career. My son Max has cassette tapes of years and years and years, literally, of sermons. And I was listening to one the other day, and I'm completely different. Why? Because the gift of teaching and the gift of prophecy in me is something that is constantly developing, right? It's constantly, I'm not going to say evolving, because that's not it. It's growing, right? So Jesus and teaching, right? The Greek word here for teacher is didaskos, and which means to instruct. And while we see, you know, samples throughout the Bible of teaching, Jesus himself was a great teacher. And Jesus commanded his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So when you take the time, I know on Wednesdays we are going through Matthew. We happen to be on the Sermon on the Mount, which is by far the greatest piece of teaching ever recorded, right? And this is just sort of Jesus off the cuff talking about different subjects, primarily taking Old Testament law and making it New Testament and bridging that gap. So Jesus commanded his disciples to teach new disciples everything he had commanded, instructing them both in doctrine and in holy living. And so if we're going to be ministers, you know, we are to teach those commandments to men, and we need to make sure that it's not our devising, but that it's ordered by the Lord. And I don't teach people my doctrine. People come to me and they say, "Well, Pastor Gray, how do you feel about, you know, when the Lord's going to come back? Is it before the tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, after the tribulation?" And I've told you all the same thing. You are required to figure that out on your own and have a position. It's not for me to do that for you, right? It's not for me to build your doctrine. It's for me to take what is difficult, make it in a way that you can understand it so that you can formulate your own doctrine. So the contrast between teaching and understanding. So teaching is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. One without it can understand the Bible. He hears and reads it and he can explain it. But he can't do the other part of teaching, which is making that word come alive in somebody. So, I'm sure throughout our nation, there are universities filled with men who, quote, know the Bible more than I do, but they do not have the inspired gift of the Holy Spirit of teaching. And therefore, when you hear them teach, it's like listening to a lecture and not something that has power. Yet, we know and we've been promised that when this gift is used, it is powerful. Why? Because it builds people up. What our universities do is they fill people up. And what the Bible does through a powerful teacher is build people up. There's a difference there. It can be developed, this supernatural gift of teaching, but it's not necessarily something that's learned or acquired at a college. My Bible college experience has not taught me the gift of teaching. It's taught me how to be a better teacher. It's taught me the rules of hermeneutics and homiletics, but it hasn't made me more effective. It's made me more effective because it's helping me develop those truths, those scientific ways of understanding God's word, and communicate it in a way that's effective, right? So there's something to be said about a person who has a PhD without the gift of teaching. They're in big trouble. You could be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't have the gift of teaching with respect to the Bible, then no one's going to hear you, right? People listen to a ordained, anointed man or woman of God who has the gift of teaching because, again, they're taking something that's difficult and making it easy to understand. Jesus said, I'm going to speak to parables because their lack of understanding, right? So let's apply this morning. And the first thing that I sort of pulled out of here that really spoke to my heart was, you know, guys, we are to seek out the gifts of teaching and prophecy. There's no question. How can Christians know if they have the gift of teaching? Well, I'll tell you right now, they should begin by asking God for opportunities to teach on a Sunday school class or a Bible study or under the authority and guidance of a gifted teacher. And if they find that they can explain the meaning of scripture and respond favorably and have people respond favorably, they're more than likely have the gift of teaching. Now, you know, through my years of pastoring, I've seen people that have the gift of gab. I have people that have the gift of sensationalism. But you know when you're listening to an anointed, gifted teacher, there's no question. My point to you this morning is that you should be seeking that out. You should be seeking out the gift of teaching and prophecy. Why? Because it builds up the church. It builds up your home. It builds relationships. It speaks to the lost. It's the only thing that can speak to the emptiness of that person. It's the only thing that can speak to the signs of the times and the days in which we live. It's the only truth that we have. And right now, that truth is being given to these people of the world by media. And that media is not God's word. That's man's word. And so if we have the ability to look at the scripture and speak to these days using the gift of teaching and prophecy, then we will be building up man. And man needs more of that building up than any other thing, including a cure to this virus. This virus is going to come and go, but God's word and his truths, they live forever. They live forever. They can change a man forever. So the second thing here is there's nothing new under the sun. So Christians are to be very weary of those who claim to have a new revelation from God. It's one thing to say, you know, I have an interesting dream last night. That's awesome. But if you say, I had an interesting dream and God gave me a word and you must obey it. And if it doesn't line up with the scripture, then you're a false prophet, period. And you stand to be judged by God in a very serious way. No utterance of man should be considered equal above the written word. That's just not going to happen, right? It's not my opinion. It's not what I think. It's what God's word says and how we interpret that and understand that. That's where the difficulty lies. So we must hold to the word of God no matter what. It's already been given. We've committed ourselves to it, to practice. its teachings and within the scriptural context alone, right? Guys, if it's not in the Bible, it doesn't belong to us. And there's a lot of people preaching a lot of things that have nothing to do with scripture, and that's a shame, right? And I think that we've become so in a place where our ears are itchy and we want to be entertained by our ministers. And I can't tell you the importance of just wholeheartedly preaching the word of God. And in the back of your mind, you know, the enemy say, oh, that's boring and nobody wants to hear it, so I have to add something to it to be different. No, you don't. You proclaim the word of God, the whole counsel of God, and it'll build the church. It'll build the church. It'll feed the church. Right now, the media is feeding the world something that they can't sustain because it's lies. It's junk. It's non-truths. But God's word is truthful and it can be counted upon. So, be careful. There is no new revelation, and that's, you know, getting to the role of a prophet. There are people in the church who have the gift of prophecy, and I value them. They really have the gift of being an elder, whether it's a man or a woman, because they really understand God's word. They understand the body. They understand the flock. They understand the role of a shepherd, and they're able to give counsel. I like to surround myself with those people because I think they're incredibly helpful. And over the years, I've had many men and women that have come alongside and provided that wisdom for me. However, if they're adding to the scripture things that aren't there, I can't tolerate that. I just can't. Because where does it stop? Then it's all about man's word and not about God's word. My word is not eternal, and God's is. So the third thing here is you got to find an outlet for the use of these gifts. And there are several context in which it, you know, one that has a gift of teaching can be used. Again, Sunday school, Bible schools, colleges, seminaries, and, you know, home Bible studies. We are on the verge here in the beginning of June, the first Sunday in June, of starting 5 home fellowships in our church. And, you know, there's more information to come on this, but the beautiful thing is it's going to produce people, because, you know, the home fellowship that I'm going to teach, I want to be able to teach people within my home fellowship to teach and to work with them and to step out in faith and try it. And guys, I think God really appreciates and loves when we step out, right? He's just waiting for us to take those baby steps and walk on water. He's impressed with that. So the one with the gift can teach either individuals or groups, and a person with the natural talent to teach can teach about anything, but a person who has a spiritual gift can teach about the Bible, and he can teach, you know, the message of a book as a whole, or break it down individual paragraphs. Doesn't matter what it is. The greatest thing that I think I've ever done as a believer is my professor gave me 50 pages to write the Bible in my own words, and it was probably the most profound thing that I exercised that I ever went through. It was just an amazing thing. I needed, you know, 500 pages, but I could only have 50. But basically, you cover the story of God in 50 pages. And it's just, you have to, you know, touch on the character and the nature of God and the story of God. And I think that when you're able to do that, that comes from the gift of teaching and the prophetic gift that God gives us. So, you know, no new material originates from the one with the gift of teaching. It's not new material. It's, you know, all these sermons you can hear. A lot of what I'm saying when other people teach, because we're staying within the confines of scripture, and it's really a reminder for you. But find an outlet. Guys, there's nothing stopping you from getting together with neighbors and having a home fellowship in your church. There's nothing stopping you from teaching the Bible study to your family, or at work, or starting a prayer ministry, or doing something. There's nothing prohibiting you from doing that. Fear, maybe, the wrong kind of fear, but if God has gifted you, then there's going to be, he's going to provide an outlet for that. You can walk around and not ask for this gift, and that's what you're going to get. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you start asking, not only will God give you the gift of prophecy and teaching, then he's going to give you an outlet. He's going to give you somebody to come alongside you and teach you. And you will know how awesome it is to take what is difficult and make it easy for people to understand, especially when they start walking in it and when they start doing it. It's amazing. It's just amazing. I was talking to the church leadership this morning about you know, being on Instagram, and I used to feel that Instagram was like an evil, and now I'm, you know, I think the church should be on Instagram. I think it's awesome. And one of the reasons why I think it's so awesome is because I've been able to connect with people that I've ministered to in the last 25 years and finally see fruit. I see young men and women married and having children and being moms and dads and continuing in their faith. And it has so encouraged me, you know, to know that. And I think, guys, that when you step out and you have the ability to teach people, you never, don't ever underestimate the power that has to change a person's life. And the good part of social media is we can see those changes and say yes and amen to them. So let me pray with you this morning. Father, add blessing to the word and to our understanding of it, God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to those people in our church that you're calling out, Lord, that you desired a gift with prophecy and this gift of teaching, Lord, that you'd give them opportunities to use it and that you would bless them. Father, I just ask for those seeking those gifts that you would be the one that gives and you would be the one that empowers. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're listening this morning online and you stumbled upon the sermon and you don't know Jesus, I want to encourage you to know him. And the way that you do that is you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. If you confess that he's Lord, that he died on the cross to save you, and you make that your prayer, you're going to be saved today. And if that's what you've done, please find the phone number on the church website that you're on right now, and call us and let us know about the decision that you made so that we may rejoice with you. Amen. Church, he has shown you, O man and O woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, that you do justly, that you love mercy, and that you walk humbly with your God.